Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal. Today, with some jealousy in my heart, I have to admit, because I'm speaking with Marco Testa, who is sitting in Italy in a town called the Lasso, near where he works on the campus of Savona for the University of Genova. Marco is the director of postgraduate masters in manual therapy at that school, and he and his co-authors have a paper being released in the August 2017 issue of Medical Education called Effective Teaching of Manual Skills to Physiotherapy Students, a Randomized Clinical Trial. And the jealousy comes because it's such a beautiful part of the world. Marco, I trust you're enjoying the early parts of summer.
Yeah, it's quite very good weather at the moment. The summer starts very well.
Great. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me during it. I know it's after hours for you and you've had a long day at the office already, but very much looking forward to having the chance to talk about this paper. For me, in part, that's because we don't see a lot on the teaching of manual skills in general, and in part because we don't see a lot from physiotherapy more specifically. But it does seem as though there are a lot of unique issues that come up when we talk about teaching manual skills relative to some of the more cognitive tasks. And I just want to ask you to start, as the director of a training program in manual therapy, what do you see as the main challenges that you face in trying to lead such a program?
Yeah, in our program, we have a big part of teaching devoted to practical skills. And skills are quite difficult to learn. And time is important, and we have to orientate in the most effective way the teaching. And that was one of the reasons that led us to decide to study a teaching method. We started discussing the possibility to improve the teaching. A former student, Giacomo Rossettini, is the first author of the paper. He was a student of the master at the moment. And after then, we decided to try to investigate the Peyton 4-step method to teach manual therapy skills.
So just before we get to that 4-step method, I'd like to get a bit more of the context. So the specific skill that you were focused upon was called C1, C2 passive right rotation. For the non-physical therapists who are listening, can you give me some sense as to what that is and what it entails when you're trying to teach it?
Yeah, it's a technique that allowed the operator, the professional, to feel the amount or rotation, specific rotation between C1 and C2 cervical vertebral segment. And to perform that, you need a very careful fixation of the C2 vertebra and to move the C1 over C2. Techniques is quite difficult, particularly for people that never performed it. So we choose this technique because being difficult to perform, in the same time, it's not dangerous for the subject. So it was a technique quite easy to implement also in a bachelor program of physical therapy.
And what would normal practice be in this regard? Historically, what has been the usual style of teaching when you're trying to convey this skill to students?
Yeah, usually you use a C1-do-1. So you show the whole technique to the students and you ask students to repeat what you showed before. You can also add some precision, some details during the explication, but is mainly made by demonstration and replication by students.
Okay. And you mentioned already the Peyton's 4-step model that you tested in this study. My understanding is that it has quite a rich history and that Frank Dotto, who was working for the American College of Surgeons, actually developed the process, but it became known as the Peyton model because of a book that he edited. What is the 4-step approach and why was it thought to be potentially better than the C1-do-1 model?
Yeah, one of the 4 steps is particularly effective in my view is the comprehension step, is the 3rd step, because the Peyton 4-step model preview, a first demonstration, then a deconstruction with dividing the demonstration in different steps, and then a third phase. This phase of comprehension is made by a kind of repetition, a guide from the student toward the teacher in the different phase of execution. And that obliges the student to recall the information and to imagine the technique. And this, in our view, was a very interesting way to teach practical skills to physiotherapy students.
So is the key ingredient then something that others might talk of as test-enhanced learning, where you're trying to actively test the students by having them recall the information, or is it more of a visualization activity?
In this phase, it's not a testing of knowledge, but it's more a visualizing of the execution. So students visualize what you have shown before and have also the possibility to have a feedback by the teacher that is executing what they are asking to perform.
That helps, thank you. Was there a strong evidence base that has built up around visualization? Why did you think that would be a procedure that was worth building into your activities?
I think that kind of motor imagery process is utilized by the students, so facilitating the learning. That was the idea behind the use of this comprehension phase.
Mm. Right. And so once we start getting into those issues, it's very clear that the procedure is applicable in any number of domains. As much as you're applying it in physiotherapy, it was developed in surgery, and really does seem like the sort of technique that one could apply in any manual or technical skill. So you recruited a group of students and randomized them to receive this new approach versus the traditional see one, do one control group. What were the other features of the methodology that you built in to try to get a sense as to whether or not this new technique was more effective?
We recorded the performance of the students and we built up a specific checklist to analyze the performance. So we take in account the time of execution, but also the way people execute the technique. The performance was scored on the basis of this checklist by experienced physiotherapists that were not informed about the study.
And does it take longer on the part of the students to go through the four-step approach as opposed to the see-one, do-one?
No, the time spent from a teacher was almost the same. There was no difference in teaching time.
Okay, so you're not getting a cost in terms of how much effort or confound in terms of the amount of practice people have put in, but people going through the Peyton's four-step models actually performed more efficiently when they were tested.
Yeah.
Any other differences that you would note for our readers?
There were differences in retention. The better performance of the intervention group was maintained after 1 week and after 1 month. We observed a decrease in performance in both groups, but even that, the difference was maintained in the intervention group also at 1 month.
So all very promising and suggests that this approach does have some value. As you think about moving forward with your own teaching activities, do you recommend that everybody apply the Peyton model in every manual skills context, or do you think there are limits on how it can be used?
At the moment, I consider that as a best technique to teach manual skills. And I think we can also adapt to spare time and to optimize the ratio between teachers and students. I advise to ask the students, instead of the teacher, to guide a mate, to guide another student to perform the techniques. That can reduce the time of teaching and I think can have the same result.
Oh, interesting. So you think the peers can support one another in this as readily as teachers can?
Yes, the third step of the Peyton model.
Right. Any other final thoughts on if others are interested in using this, lessons you've learned in terms of how to use it well?
I think it's easy to implement and a very good tool to teach.
Great. It sounds very promising, and I'll direct listeners to the paper then, if they're interested in experimenting with it, because there are more details there in terms of how the procedure was run. Again, if you go back to Frank Dotto's work in that book edited by Peyton, which is referred to in the paper, you'll find even more details still. For now, I'll just thank you, Marco, for taking the time to talk and for submitting this innovative work, and we'll remind our listeners that we've been discussing a paper entitled Effective Teaching of Manual Skills to Physiotherapy Students, a Randomized Clinical Trial, that will be in the August 2017 issue of Medical Education.
Thank you, Kevin. It was a pleasure.
The pleasure was mine. All the best.